Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ladies and gents, welcome back once again. All things covered. Patrick Peterson and Brian McFadden. Listen, if you're watching us on YouTube, like, subscribe, and comment. Skull in the chat. If you're listening to us, make sure you give us a 5-star rating on Apple and Spotify. Tell a friend to tell a friend what we're doing. You will enjoy it. Trust me. With this episode, just a little tease. We're going to recap a thrilling Christmas Eve win for the Minnesota Vikings. Packers preview, that is the next ball game for the Minnesota Vikings, and of course, bowl game predictions, because both of our universities getting ready to play in some big-time bowl games.
Go Stay tired. Tuned.
Pat P., no question, man, there's a lot to tap into you with. Of course, another thrilling, entertaining ball game for your Minnesota Vikings, finding a way to snuff out a win. The cardiac Vikes is what I call you guys. Keep doing what you're doing. The end goal has been the cardiac Vikes. That's what you guys are, the cardiac Vikes. The end goal is to win by any means necessary. You guys have been finding ways to do so. But Pat P, before we tap into that recap, right? I want to talk to you about something that I know is near and dear to you and for all your faithful fans, right?
You go.
Pat P's year this season has been It's been real good. They said he was old. They said he was washed. All caps, by the way. W-A-S-H, all caps. They said you were washed. They ain't had nothing. You were old in the tooth, had nothing left. But you've been balling, been consistent, haven't seen a lot of action. But the Pro Bowl list came out. You were not on the list. I saw your post-game interview with the Giants when someone asked you on the field how you felt. But what was your reaction when you heard you didn't make the Pro Bowl?
My initial reaction, I was kind of shocked because, like you said, you know, my stats this year, obviously stats up way up against some of my best years. And my initial reaction, I was kind of shocked. But then overall, when I started looking at it and, you know, I guess seeing the bigger picture, you know, at this stage, you know, I'm playing for a much bigger bowl. And I don't know the league and the fans, I don't know how they went about voting or whatever. I guess they felt like, you know, I needed to share the wealth. I had to share the wealth, Matt. So, unfortunately, I came up short on my 9th one. You know, Lord's willing, give me an opportunity at it again next year. I'm going to give it my all again next year. You know, so, but shout out to those guys who did make it, you know, because, you know, Diggs, you know, having a decent year, 3 picks, 13 PBUs, the rookie, Woodley.
Tariq Woolen.
Yeah, Tariq having a big year, 6 picks, 14 PBUs, Slay, my guy Slay.
Big play plus. Slay.
Yeah, he part of that 10-plus game, 3 picks, 13 PBUs. Alexander, 5 picks, 13 PBUs. And you got your boy P2 right there, 4 picks, 14 PBUs. So I'm up there with the best of them, you know, but I just want to continue just being where I need to be and helping my team win ball games. And like I said, be in that much more important bowl at this stage in my career at the end of the season.
And when you talk about some of the guys that made it in regards to coverage, according to PFF, you had the best rating in regards to coverage, 4th overall. So clearly PFF has been taking notice to what you have been doing. And my thing is this, though, Pat P. I looked at the alternate list. So I'm like, okay, Pat P. didn't make, you know, the starting Pro Bowl team. Okay, I see who they have. But then I'm like, okay, I know he had to be like a first or second alternate. Didn't even have you. You wasn't even first or second alternate. Now, that right there, hold on. I can understand a little bit the names you mentioned, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, granted, all younger guys playing pretty good football. But yeah. Like you said, all younger guys, they might want to share the wealth. Well, okay, that's cool. It's not cool, but I guess you can kind of accept it a little bit, right? I don't want to speak for you, but you kind of
yeah, like,
but then you say, okay, position. At least I know I probably make an alternate. They didn't even have you as an alternate. With your numbers, 4 interceptions, 14 PBUs, 4th in coverage, according to PFF, one of the best coverage corners the entire season, seeing the least amount of targets, playing the most snaps. How you did not make an alternate is what I want to know, Pat P.
Back, your guess is as good as mine, my guy. I have no idea. Like I said, let's just hope all pro, the voters get it right. You know, at least, you know, if I don't make first team, I know I'm at least up there for at least second team. Like, I feel like the year I'm having this year is better than any of my all pro seasons, hands down.
Number wise, no question.
So, I mean, if everybody like to look at numbers, you know, everybody want to die on these numbers. Look at the numbers. The numbers are right there.
Man, not even an alternate? Come on, Pro Bowl. I understand. Listeners and viewers, make sure you understand in regards to Pro Bowl voting, it's 1/3 fans. So fans, you're needed. Yep. You definitely need to be involved. 1/3 players and 1/3 coaches. So I don't know if you haven't been watching what's been going on, but our guy been making big time plays. Had another pick against Daniel Jones.
And right? In what quarter?
Fourth quarter.
Okay.
Yeah, fourth quarter. That's the most important quarter.
Closer.
Exactly. Closer. So for you to not make the Pro Bowl list is mind boggling. But for you to not make one alternate, listen. Like,
Was not me.
We got to figure out what's going on. let us know how you feel in our chat, please. Watching this on YouTube, chime in. Do we have a legit issue, a gripe with this whole Pro Bowl voting and with our guy not being on the list, not even as an alternate? Or are we tripping? Let us know how you feel, because I think this is a legit gripe, Pat P. I'm right there with you. And I'm not just saying that because we family. I'm saying that because I'm watching football.
Yeah.
I'm saying that. And the thing is, we got to keep it real. Like last year, you didn't have a Pro Bowl. Like, yeah, we wasn't harping about Pro Bowl. We keep
Mac,
it real.
You know me. You know me, Mac. I'm always going to be real. If I like it or not, I'm always going to be real. But yeah, that was unacceptable last year.
Yeah.
To my standard. You said
you were going to bounce back and give them what they're looking for this year.
No doubt about it. And I told you that right after the season, because I knew that was not my standard.
You did. But we got to figure out what's going on. In regards to Vikings, who did make the Pro Bowl, clearly all deserving guys.
Oh, yeah.
Kirk Cousins, Justin Jefferson, TJ Hockenson, Za'Darius Smith, Andrew Adepola. All deserving guys, man. How do you feel about hearing your teammates that make the list?
Man, well deserving, man, because like, you know, man, anytime you get one of those Pro Bowl nods, man, that's big. You know, that's huge for your career. That's huge for, you know, you getting the respect from your peers, the coaching staff, the fans. You know what I mean? So that go a long way, because you play the game to be recognized as the best at your position. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and like you said, shout out to all my teammates who made it, well deserving of the nominee, for getting nominated for the NFC Pro Bowl team. But like I told Andrew today, I said, I think this was his first one, if I'm not mistaken. I said, congratulations. But man, I don't plan on you. I hope you're not planning on playing it. So
no question. No question. In regards to the alternates, there are quite a few guys who made the alternate list from the Vikings, not named Pat P, of course. We got Dalvin Cook, CJ, Daniil, Christian Darrisaw. I'm surprised he didn't. I know he missed some time, but I thought he might have made the actual team. Garrett Bradbury, Harrison Smith. I'm surprised he didn't make the Pro Bowl list, but he's an alternate. Second after leading fan vote, Chris Boyd and Eric Kendricks. So quite a few of your teammates made the alternate list. No question, tip of the hat for all those guys. Well-deserving. And some of these guys should have made the actual Pro Bowl team as well. Now let's tap into the Giants recap. Vikings win 27-24. My prediction was 30-20. not too far off, but of course, the main goal was to predict a win. Before we tap into that ball game, let's talk about the pregame. I mean, the game fit. The game fit. If you guys haven't been following Pat P on social media, make sure you follow our guy. That's a given. If you're rocking with the show, you should be rocking with Pat P throughout everything he does, supporting the gear, supporting his social media content. Pat P, tell us about your pregame fit, because you walked in the stadium like you was like you had something on your mind, man. What brought that idea in wearing that outfit, and tell us a little bit about it.
Man, shout out to my wife, man. My wife picked that up for me, man. And that was one. I had that jacket, man. I had that jacket for about 2 years now, and I never wore it. And that's the thing about me. I always buy like cool stuff, and I always just wait for the time to pull it out. So that jacket is about 2 years old. R.P. Virgil, that's one of Virgil's collectible trench coats. Or when he collabed with Louis Vuitton.
Yeah.
So you remember we talked about my Virgil collection last year?
Yes, we did. Anyway, yes, we did.
Actually, I think I showed that jacket last year when I was like, this is my most prized possession right now.
You showed me that in the speaker. Right? You remember you showed me the speaker?
Yeah, exactly. Speaker. Yeah. So, boom. Yeah, I had that jacket for that long and never wore it, and it was quite fitting to bring it out on Christmas Eve. It was cold as heck outside, so nice wool jacket with multiple colors in it. Had the purple suit on under that joint. Just kept it nice and simple with the shirt. Just nice and white shirt, button all the way up to the top. No tie, because the jacket was everything.
Yeah.
So, just walked into the stadium with my swag on, man. You know, I put it on every once in a while, Matt.
You got to. It's only right. It's only right. You played in the secondary. You can't be in the secondary no swag.
Right.
So it's only a given. One thing I like, of course, I love the fit, but I also love seeing my guy when you get into verbal back and forth the ball game. What type of back and forth was going on with you and Isaiah Hodges, the wide receiver from the Giants? Early, we just saw a lot of chatter, and I love when I see that, because, you know, sometimes, you know, you want to do your business quietly, but I love when you bring that South Florida out in you. What was going on in that back? Tell us a little bit about that back and forth.
Man, it was all within the game, you know what I mean? I made a play, I think it was first quarter, maybe like the fourth play.
The breakup on the sideline?
Yeah, breakup on the sideline, and Coach Bryan had started talking trash to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but it was all within the game. It wasn't like crazy.
Nothing
like,
disrespectful.
Yeah, we coming at you today. We coming at you. Yeah, we coming at you today. I hope you're right. I'm like, yeah, I want you too. You know me, Mac. So now they ain't got me fired up. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I'm telling you, every time I get fired up, Mac, I make a play. I'm saying, I don't know what it is. Every time.
That's what I want. I want that. I'm looking for somebody to give me some smoke.
So, boom, he fired me up. So, boom, we go through the play. Then Hodges, he make like a very contested catch. Mm-hmm. Like two contested catch. It wasn't like, oh, he riled me up. Like, y'all, you know, I was right there, you know, on a couple of the two passes that he did catch on me early on before the double move.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I just told him, I said, just stay patient. Just stay patient, P2. I said, it's a four-quarter game. And I said, if Daniel keep trying me, mark my word, I am going to get an interception. Because I'm too close in coverage all game.
Yeah.
Just besides, my coach brought this to my attention, just besides the double move that they put on me, because teams know that if you give me just a generic route, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to be on that generic route.
Yeah.
So what are they going to do to get you off that route, P2?
They got
to
jump
you. Double moves. They got to get me to stop my feet and go, because they know I'm a student of the game. So you ain't going to just come up and show me no generic route. And they did a great job of setting that up the whole game, because if you go back and watch the game, I watch film. I'm not going to say what I saw, because we might play them again. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I saw this certain formation. I was like, oh, they give me this route every single time. Every single time. So early on in the game, I'm breaking on it. Boom, boom, boom. But that fourth time, I was like, all right, man, he breaking on this route. So a little bit too clean. So they gave me two sluggos. The first one, I was on it pretty good. And the second one, they got me because, like I said, I was, if you go back and look at the tape, I was heavy inside. Mm-hmm. So I'm planning for the route that I think that's coming. Then they end up hitting me with the slogo. Great move on him. Good move. Great pitch and catch. 29-yarder. That's within the game. The next play, I end up coming around the corner. Coach sent me on the blitz.
Mm-hmm.
We'll try to get you a sack, P2. But no, actually, that he sent me on the blitz after my PI call. because, and the reason I got that PI call, Mac, oh, I was before the play, man. I knew that play was coming. If you go back and watch that play the whole time, I'm breaking on the route before the receiver and break on the route. That's why they called me for a PI. Because I knew exactly what was about to happen the whole entire time. So I ended up getting there a little bit too early. Kudos to him. Next play, let's calm P2 down. What are we going to do? We're going to send him on a cat blitz. Send him on a cat blitz. Send me on a cat blitz. I barely missed him. I almost got my fifth sack. Just barely missed him. I almost, my last sack came against Daniel Jones. Mm. In 2020, when my first game back, got me old strip sack. Guess what I did then, Matt? Closed the game.
Yep.
Fast forward.
That was in New York.
Yeah, in New York, 2022.
Yep.
I'm around the edge. Nice dip. Almost got, he stepped up just in time. And I'm upset that the NFL didn't even give me a hurry. They didn't even give me a
they give you a pressure?
A pressure or anything. Who they think started that, man?
No question.
Come on, man. Show your boy some love. I need everything I can get at this point, my guy.
Yeah. Hey, but, you know, speaking of, you know, action, Daniel Jones gave you the most action out of any quarterback this year. I think he gave you had 9 targets. You talked about the P.I. and the Hodges touchdown. One thing I talked to you about was a 2-point play.
Yeah. Yeah, on that 2-point play, I honestly thought, like we talked about on the phone, I honestly thought, because the tight end was so open, so I thought he was going to drill it in there. So my mind was hurry up and just get into position to try to go pick the ball up. But then he floated the ball up.
He floated. Like, he gave you a bunny too.
Yeah, I'm like, what the heck? Then I'm looking at the ball and the ball looked like it just kept floating. It wasn't like no, you know, one is just fall in the basket. It was one that just stayed up and just dropped at the last second.
But you left your feet a little too early. If you'd have took one more step.
Yeah. Yeah,
but you thought it was a laser. It was a floaty. But with me, you had this back and forth. And Eric, can you clarify this for us? Right, if Pat would have picked that off, would that have counted as an interception?
No, I'm telling you, Mac. Yeah,
what do you say?
No, I told you that.
No. Would that have counted as a PBU?
No, it would have. It's a free play.
It's a dead play. So okay.
Because I told you, I got a pick like that against Antonio Brown, 2000.
Matter in Pittsburgh.
Fact, 15 in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. 2-point conversion. Actually, I had 2 picks in that game. The other one got called back because somebody jumped off sides. But anywho.
I think they should change the rules on that.
I agree.
I think they should change
the rules. But at the same time, what would you call it?
It's an interception.
No. What would you call it for a guy who caught the 2-point conversion?
It's a conversion.
That's what I'm saying. So that's why it's considered a free play. So you can't give nobody nothing because you can't consider.
They gotta find a way to make it a stat because it's a free play, but then it's not because if they convert it,
leave it where it is.
No, because we get a pick on 2-point. You want that pick, right?
I do want that pick, but now you're gonna have everybody start going for twos, man. Just leave it where it is.
Well, that's an opportunity for you to get another pick. Hey, one thing about Giants fans, they were hot about Saquon when he gave you a high five on the play you were just referring to. What was that about?
Said about that stuff, man.
Man, they didn't want to see y'all being friendly. They want to see, you know, especially with them losing at that time. Yeah, the Giants were losing, if I'm not mistaken.
First of all, it was nothing. I was happy to see Saquon back on the field. Mm-hmm. You know, that's my first time seeing him again, you know, him back live in action. And then I got a picture. Well, I got a video of us after the game, just how genuinely happy I was for him off the success he's having, you know, on this season and what that handshake was about. He told me, he was like, man, I should have ran your ass over.
Oh, that's what he hit you with?
Did I hit him with? I said, so that's why we ended up shaking hands. I said, better luck next time.
Hey, you know what though, Pat? When I see Saquon play, I don't think he would. It's hard for me to believe he would actually say something like that. I know he was saying it in a joking way, but still.
Yeah, it was in a joking way. It wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't like.
Because you don't really see him as a guy who talks just in general, like in a friendly way. You really don't see him as a guy that talks in general. But that's cool. But yeah, Giants fans on Twitter, they were hot at Saquon for high fiving.
Man, it was all love, man.
They were in their feelings. Man. Hey, Pat P, you talked about the interception. Break down that play, break down the route, because you just undercut Hodges and it just was, you became the wide receiver. When did you know? Did you have a good idea about what he was running pre-snap alignment, or what put you in position to make that play? Tell us. Coach us up.
I can coach you up, but I can't tell you everything.
Okay. Yeah. You right. You said y'all might. It's a good chance y'all might see them again. Okay. Yeah. So be mindful of what you say. Can't give us too much insight.
Yeah, I gotta be very mindful, man. We don't know who might be watching this show. Yeah. But anyway, what I saw on that particular route, on that route right there, I understood that the receiver that I was up against, the certain routes that he run in certain formations and certain alignments, mm-hmm. it gave me an idea of what he might run. And then when he gave me the stem that clarified the route, I was like, oh yeah.
You know,
I already know what time it is, especially me knowing where my help is. Mm-hmm. So that gave me the ability to play aggressive on that particular route because I had high safety and I had a curl flat player dropping underneath me. Mm-hmm. Behind me as I was covering the over. So as I understood, you know, the stem and his shoulders and everything, you know, gave me validation and he was giving me the over route, I was like, boom, trust your eyes, trust your intuition, everything that you just thought about, go get it.
Hey, and Pat P, for our listeners, you know, that are football fans or players of the game, you know what I mean? Why is the stem of a wide receiver so important? And number one, define stem in football terminology regarding a wide receiver. But tell us why that is so important for you.
9 times out of 10, so you can get two stems, especially when you're off. Well, you can get three stems, especially with that route I just got on that one.
Mm-hmm.
You got a stem to where when receivers want to run inside breaking routes, they're playing on the splits because now guys have gotten savvy and give you that dig stem and run that seven
mm-hmm.
stem. But here's the difference. You got to look at the predication on where they are aligned with the numbers. If they are close to the numbers, meaning the top of the numbers, that's when you're going to get more of those outbreaking routes, more of the sevens, more of the speed outs. But if they have any space between that numbers and the actual receiver, that's when you're going to get more of the in-breaking routes. Mm-hmm. So therefore, when I talk about the stem, the receiver's at the line of scrimmage. If he start within his first 2 yards, he break almost like a slant and start going up. That's an inside stem. Opposite, if he does the same thing, come within those 2 yards, stem out and head up, that's an outside stem.
Mm-hmm.
So off the stems, that's giving me an understanding on the possibilities of the routes that I'm going to see.
Mm. You guys heard it. For all you young defensive backs, corners that are listening or watching us on YouTube, stems are very, very important when you're playing off technique because that can give you that one extra hint that you need to be in position to make a play. Just like Pat P has been the entire season, but oddly enough, he didn't even make a Pro Bowl alternate.
Hey, man, stabbing.
I'm just trying to figure that out. I still don't understand that. You got the pick, fourth quarter. Huge play, game-changing play, like the celebration. Take us through the celebration, because initially I didn't know what you were trying to set up. You know what I mean? You guys had to really take your time to get everything together, but take us through that celebration. Who thought of it? How did it come about?
First of all, did you like it?
Yes, I did. I love it because everyone had to be involved. It was the ultimate team celebration.
Obviously, we know the World Cup just ended. And we was in the locker room one day, and I can't remember what team was playing. I can't remember what team was playing.
Was it France?
It probably was France, but whatever game it was, they went into the penalty kick.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody was in there going crazy. I mean, just going, it was whatever team Neymar plays on.
Eric,
what team Neymar plays on? And there you go.
Brazil. So, Brazil or Croatia.
Brazil. So there was playing Brazil, and it was Brazil and France, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, they was in the penalty kicks, and everybody was like going nuts. Like it was just the excitement in the locker room was crazy. So I'm just sitting back watching. I'm like, man, you know what? Our next celebration going to be the penalty kick. Just seeing how excited the guys are, this, that, and the other. And we were supposed to do it last week, but we didn't get a turnover.
Uh-huh.
We were supposed to do it with BA when he got his first turnover, but he just lost his mind, just went haywire. And I went on the sideline. You can ask, we need to get BA on the show. I said, BA, I said, man, you were supposed to be the one that had the gold celebration. I said, you know what? Since I made it up, I'm going to do it. And it's even before I even got my pick.
Uh-huh.
I kid you not. I said, I'm going to do the celebration. And so I went down the sideline, started telling everybody, I said, hey, man, when I get this turnover, we're doing the World Cup celebration. I made sure
you gave everybody notice.
Yeah, I said, we're doing the World Cup celebration.
What quarter was that in, Pat P?
Huh?
What quarter was that when you gave everybody notice on the sideline? Was that second quarter?
I honestly think it was somewhere in the... Because when did Brian make that play? In the second quarter?
I think so.
So yeah.
Were you mic'd up this game?
No, I wasn't. So it had to happen in the third quarter.
Okay, so you gave everybody notice in the third quarter. Eric, make sure you see if you can try to find that footage, by the way.
I'm gonna try to find that footage. I said, man, when I get this pick, we're doing the World Cup celebration.
Mm.
All right, cool.
And
we did it.
Man, I like it. I can't wait to see what you guys have in store for this upcoming game when that turnover comes. You know what you can pull off? If you can pull it off, would it be so dope? The Aaron Gordon dunk that he just had.
Which one?
Man, he dunked on. It was Denver. Denver just played.
It's gonna be hard to pull off a dunk because we can't
It'd be hard. Who did they just play? Denver just played somebody. Aaron Gordon dunked on the Suns. Landry Shamet. Yeah, that's
I'm gonna have to look it up.
You didn't see that?
No, I didn't see it, man. Because you know, Mac, the celebration is always with what's going on.
Ooh, Pat P, he dunked on Shamet so bad, man. Oh, yeah. Oh my goodness, Pat.
Eric, send me the clip, Eric.
Well, you could be like, oh, and he fell. He dunked on him, knocked him down, and fell on top of him.
Oh man.
And it was so bad initially they hit him with a charge, but they reviewed it. And said, that's an and one.
Oh, Eric, send it to me, Eric. I will replay it. I will try to do it as best I can.
Man, listen, boy, that was a massive dunk.
Hey, might be the dunk to do that at Lambeau Field? Oh.
Yeah. Study the film. See how you can pull off.
I need to see it.
Maybe you'll have the football in your hand and...
Send it to me, Eric. I need it.
Hey.
I need it.
Hey, talking about big-time players, Greg Joseph. Man, entered the game with four game-winning kicks, but 61 yards clearly is a long kick. You know what I'm saying? But what type of confidence did you have in Greg as he stepped up to attempt that game-winning kick that became a game-winning kick for you guys?
Man, Matt, to be honest with you, I didn't know how far it was.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting on the bench. I was like, man, it was like, oh, we're going for the field goal. I was like, all right, bet. Greg's about to make it. Didn't even know how far it was.
Yeah, it was 61 yards.
I'm literally sitting on the bench. I got my hat on. There was like, obviously he went out there. He ended up, you know, taking a snap. As he's taking a snap, I get up and start walking towards, because coach was right there in front of me. I start walking to coach. And I'm like, yeah, he's going to make this. Not even knowing it was 61 yarders. Mm. Yeah, 61 yarder. You know, so confidence level was there. You know, it wasn't a doubt in my mind that he was going to go out there and put it up through the uprights. You know,
he did it so easy. It was just casually done.
And we know that Greg has a very strong leg. We know that Greg can make, you know, countless kicks, you know, because we've seen it, you know. So now he's putting it on display for the world to see it, you know. So it's just an incredible, you know, an achievement for him. And also for him to build that confidence, because we're going to need him in the playoffs.
Kicking is important.
No
playoff time. Yes.
No doubt about it. And it's great that his confidence level is steady growing at the right pace and at the right time.
Yeah, talking about confidence, this player lacks no confidence. Justin Jefferson now has the single season record for Vikings in receiving yards and has the NFL record within his sights as well. There's no debate about who the best wide receiver is. You said this during the offseason that you believe he has a legit shot to achieve the triple crown. He might not get it in regards to touchdowns, but in regards to receiving yards, no question. Most receiving yards in a single season in Viking history, Justin Jefferson, 1756. He just surpassed Randy Moss, who had 1632. But get this, the four top receiving seasons in Viking history, they're held by two guys, Randy and Justin Jefferson. Outstanding. So, hey, Jettas, we're rooting for you. Let's see exactly what you have in store for these next two ball games, because there's still a lot at stake, you know, in regards to your season. Before we transition to break, man, let's talk about how clutch you have been, your team has been, in regards to one possession wins. You have you set another record on Saturday by securing the most one possession wins in NFL history with 11. This was your final home regular season game of the year in which you went 7-1 at US Bank. How awesome is that for fans throughout the year? And how pumped are you to know you have at least one home playoff game coming?
Man, it was a year of a lot of accomplishments that we set out for ourselves as a team. You know, as Coach Kale alluded to, after the Colts game, the first goal we set out for ourselves was winning the North. You know, the second one is obviously winning the NFC, and the third one is the ultimate goal. You know, is to be one of the teams that's being standing in Arizona. You know, so everything is coming to full circle, and for us to give our fans a great show each and every time. Besides that one time against Dallas, every outing that we was able to step out on the field at the US Bank Stadium, it was something that they will remember for the rest of their lives. Because every game that we played home this year was a nail biter.
And it came cardiac vice.
You know, so this year was very, very remarkable. And I'm happy that we were going to give them another opportunity to watch us at least, you know, for, you know, as of right now, you know, at least for one game.
One.
Yeah, at the bank, you know, so. Please show up as you did all year long. Make it loud. Make it tough for the opposing team offense and quarterback. And you know, hopefully you guys can propel us to another victory.
No doubt. You heard them, fans. Our very own P2. Make sure you show up and show out, and they're going to do the rest. It's time to take care of a few bills. But when we come back, let's see what's next for the Minnesota Vikings. Packers preview up next. Stay tuned.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
Packers preview up next. That is the next ball game. The final two games of the season will be on the road. The Packers, you go to Lambeau Field. Luckily enough, it won't be extremely cold. This past week in the NFL, every game that was played up north, it was frigid. It was tough. You guys had the luxury of being inside, but of course, Pat P, you know how cold it has been. It's a 425 primetime matchup between the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay, they have really been surging in a different direction compared to what we saw in the month of October and, heck, early November, to say the least. They're playing some real inspired football. How different are each of these teams since you played them? How different are the Green Bay Packers compared to what you played in week one from what you're seeing right now, Pat Pete?
Well, obviously, you know, playing-wise, you know, Green Bay had all the hype and, you know, all the anticipation of, you know, running it back in the north and, you know, Aaron doing what he's supposed to do, you know, throughout the year. But, you know, those guys haven't had the guys that he had in previous years that was able to help him do that. And, you know, we came in as a young, you know, hungry team that, you know, felt and thought that it was our time, you know, and we came in with that, with the mindset all year. You know, obviously we understand that Aaron did a lot of great things, you know, for the Green Bay Packers and, you know, winning division after division. But at some point, it's time for the big guy to roll over. You know, you know what I mean? And start almost like you, like myself, you know, share the wealth. You know what I mean?
No question.
And we have just the right nucleus of guys, you know, that band of guys and head coach that's putting us in position to be successful, you know. So teams right now, obviously the records are not what everybody expected. They probably thought it would be a little flip-flop a little bit. Green Bay have our record, we have Green Bay record, but that's totally different. You know, but you know, we understand that these guys are going to come in with a mindset of that they still have everything, you know, to lose and play for at the same time, you know. So we know we're going to get these guys' best shot. You know, we know Aaron is, you know, ain't no question that he's a Hall of Fame quarterback, but he's an all-time great. So we know that we're going to get his best shot. He know his season is on the line. You know, so he have to win both of these games to – you know, to secure a spot of in the playoffs, you know. Yeah. So we know that we're going to get this team best shot. We know that we got to give this team our best shot to also continue, like I've been talking about since week 11, continue to build in the right direction that's going to help us prevail through certain situations throughout the playoffs. Because at the end of the day, we are going to have to go on the road and play in a playoff environment. This is going to be a playoff environment.
Yeah. You know,
so why not get ourselves prepared for those moments that we're going to see here in the next couple of weeks, in the next month of football, you know, especially if you want to be where we want to be at the end of the season.
Does it give you any extra motivation, Pat P, knowing you have the chance to end a division rival season and their playoff hopes all in the same time?
No, I don't give me any extra motivation because we have our own problems to worry about. You know,
you just want to win.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Our only goal and motivation is to be 1-0 after each and every week. You know, we're going to put together a great game plan going into this Green Bay week, and we're going to put, you know, all the marbles on the table because at the end of the day, we got the 49ers right behind us, you know.
No question.
Number two ain't locked up yet, you know, so we still have to continue to put our best football on film, continue to build confidence within ourselves, to know that we can achieve anything that cross our paths here in the next here in the postseason.
Yep. Aaron Rodgers, home, playing at home in the month of December and January. He has the best record. Regular season since 1970, minimum of 20 starts in the month of December. January, Pat P. Aaron Rodgers is 27-4. That's the best record, followed by Brett Favre, 35-7. You got Tom Brady, 44-9. John Elway, 21-5. Peyton Manning, 32-9. So December, January, playing in Lambeau Field, Aaron Rodgers, he's at his best. I think one of the bigger, you know, when you look at the difference in what we're seeing from Aaron Rodgers compared to early on in the year to where he is now is the chemistry that he has established with his young wide receivers, Dobbs, you know, Watson, Alan Lazard. You know, of course, you have the veteran in Randall Cobb. These guys seem to have a togetherness that wasn't really there in the beginning of the season. And their biggest playmaker is Christian Watson, a big, fast guy, you know, guy that can take the top off the coverage. You talk about Randall Cobb, who's a do-it-all type player in the slot. Alan Lazard is a big body presence as well. Dobbs is a pretty good guy. When you look at this young cast of wide receivers, what has been the biggest difference from what you're seeing now compared to early in the year?
I would have to agree with you on the fact that Aaron is trusting those young guys now. You know, he's running a little bit more RPO now, which is in the early in the year, he wasn't running that as much because him and Devontae and some of the older guys that he had on his roster previously, they was in tune when he was going to pull it, or at least on the same page on when RPO play was going to happen. RPO is a run play option for our viewers and listeners. Mm-hmm. You know, so now seeing him implement that a little bit more into the game, you know, watching film, seeing them implement that a little bit more into their game plan, it's starting to open up the offense more, open up the offense a little bit more for him, because now they got the running game, you know, starting to pick up a little bit more. You know, mm-hmm. Aaron doing his thing. Young 28, you know, he's running the ball hard. Young, big, he ain't no a little a bowling ball. He's a huge bruising bowling ball. So when you get Dylan and Aaron, you know, on the same page, Aaron, you know, obviously Aaron in the passing game is a matchup nightmare. Then you have Dylan coming in on those downhills on those downhill runs. It's a great combination for success. And like I said, now that the RPO game is being a little bit married into the game plan, it's allowing him to grow more trust into the receivers, because anything after that is pretty much them running routes, timing routes, this, that, and the other. But if he have the ability to trust those guys when it's a run play call, that's mm-hmm. when he's most dangerous. And that's what we've seen in the years previously when Aaron was able to get those, you know, those hidden yardage plays, as we call them, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, because he may be calling a run, but the defense, the cornerback is 7 yards off. He may think he can sneak, you know, 6 or 7 yards. Next thing you know, it turns into 20 yards. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So now that he's starting to trust those guys a little bit more, I think, you know, the offense is starting to wake up a little bit better.
No doubt, no doubt. And with that being said, it's prediction time. Prediction time. I've been getting close. Man, if I could hit it dead on the head right now with this one, man. Oh, it's going to be a great year. Prediction time. Number one, Pat P., I know you don't pay attention to betting and things like that. The line nope. came out, depending on where you're shopping, they had the Packers the favorites in this ball game, giving you guys 3 points or 3.5 points, depending on where you're shopping. I don't like that. The odd makers out in Vegas believe you guys are going to lose this ball game, because that's what the line usually determines. They pick Green Bay to be the favorites for whatever reason. Who cares? But with me, I predict the final score. And I believe I have more power than the people in Vegas. So with that being said, give me Minnesota 29, Green Bay 26. The total will be surpassed in this ball game. I think the total is set at 47. It's going to be an entertaining game in the mid-30s, clear. It's not even, that's not even cold. Mid-30s? Man, Pat P, you ain't got no sleeves on mid-30s.
Nah, I ain't wearing sleeves.
Yeah, you got, that's, man, that's, sleeves, man. You ain't in the team. That's mid-30s, man. That's
pretty. Hey, but I tell you what, that thing in them single digits, Mac, you know I am.
Oh, yeah, I know you're going to sleeve up in them single digits.
Oh, my God, I don't care what nobody say.
We know you're going to sleeve up, but that's my prediction. 29-26, Vikings win. Let's go. Now, it's time to take a break. When we come back, we got to tap into around the league. There's a lot to talk about, including a guy that Pat P knows extremely well. Stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, this is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. men's national team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast. And I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me. And also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the men's Sunday performance jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
We're back. Before we wrap up the show, of course, we got to tap into what's going on around the league. Your draft mate, J.J. Watt, just announced that he will retire after this season. Of course, the Cardinals are not making the playoffs, so he has two games left in his career. No question, he's a lock to make the Hall of Fame. For you, Pat P, you guys got drafted in the same draft. What stands out the most about J.J. Watt's career? 12 NFL season, 10 seasons, 10 with Houston, 2 with Arizona, 3-time Defensive Player of the Year, 5-time Pro Bowler, 5-time First Team All-Pro, 111 and a half career sacks.
3-time Defensive Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
For him to be able to do that, I don't know what years he won that, but he went on, it was a stint to where he was unstoppable, almost how Aaron Donald is on his, you know, rampage right now, to where he was unblockable. Mm-hmm. He was getting picks, he was getting touchdowns, he was getting tipped passes. I remember one year he led the year in PBUs.
Yeah, he had a lot. Yeah,
you know what I mean.
No question. So
just the fact that he was able to win 3 defensive MVPs is remarkable. You know, and to say that he was a guy in my draft class, it just speaks volume to the guys who, you know, was picked in, guys who was drafted with us, you know, to the AJs, to the Cams, to the Bonds, to the Cameron Haywards, to Cameron Jordan. I mean, the list goes on. You know?
So, right now, the 2011 first rounders who's still in the league, you talked about Vaughn, AJ Green, yourself, Julio, Tyron Smith, Blaine Gabbert. Blaine Gabbert is still in the league. Yeah, he's a backup with the Buccaneers. Yeah, Robert Quinn, Cam Jordan, Mark Ingram, Cam Hayward. Cam and retired Richard Sherman was in that class as well.
Yep.
Chris Harris is still in the league, but he wasn't a first rounder.
Yeah, well, he wasn't.
That's just the first rounders. That class, that 2011 just draft class in totality is spectacular. And let's do the game, play a game of what ifs. So, well, I don't want to say what ifs, but who do we believe, when their career is over, we'll get that call to go to Canton eventually? I think Vaughn will be on that list. I think Vaughn.
Mm-hmm.
AJ Green in his prime, hell, I think he got a legit fighting chance. You're going to be on that list. Julio Jones definitely going to be on that list.
Yep.
Tyron Smith playing for the Cowboys, I think he has a chance.
Yep.
I mean, Robert Quinn, he's never really been a part of prestigious like organizations.
Hey, but his numbers.
His numbers are ham. Cam Jordan got numbers. Cam Hayward?
Ham.
Richard Sherman?
Ham.
Freaking, of course, JJ?
Jason Kelsey? Ham.
I forgot about Kelsey. Ham. He was in that class as well, so.
Yeah.
When it's all said and done, that 2011 draft class, not just the first rounders, but the draft class from top to bottom, man, it might be a bona fide 10 Hoffers.
Yeah, man.
Just off the top of my head, might be almost 10 Hoffers.
And that's just, like you said, that's just off the first rounders. And we just sprinkle a couple late rounders in there. I'm sure it's going to be a couple more that
no
we
question.
Just can't think about right now.
Yeah, yeah. How does it feel for you knowing that some of the guys you were drafted with are starting to call it quits, even though there are quite a few guys that have retired. Some are starting to call it quits, seeing this from JJ in regards to your longevity and how much longer you want to continue to play.
Man, I know my time coming, Mac. And that's why I just want to continue to enjoy the moment that I'm in right now. I'm in a very, very comfortable space, very, very good space, head space. You know, the team is having great success. Yep. I just want to enjoy this, you know, because I only had this opportunity 3 times in my career.
No
believe
question.
It or not. I only had a bona fide opportunity to be in the playoffs 3 times out of my 12-year career. Mm. So for me, I just want to continue just enjoying this moment. I'm having a blast with my teammates. I feel rejuvenated. I feel refreshed. So I just want to just, like I said, I just want to continue enjoying this moment, man. So I don't know how much longer, you know, I'm going to play. You know, I don't want to put a
number on it.
Yeah, I don't want to put a time limit on it because I start thinking about it. But right as of right now, I feel amazing.
Well, as of right now, you'll play tell us you want to play a little longer.
Exactly. So I can tell you this, I'm playing next year for sure.
No question.
If a team give me an opportunity, I'm playing next year for sure.
No question. Hey. Your inner words are weighing compensation over conversation.
Yes, sir.
So let's see. Hey, real quick nugget on your draft class. I don't know if you knew this, Pat P, but 11 guys from that class of 2011 have made at least 6 Pro Bowls.
Wow. That's crazy.
At least 6 Pro Bowls. So let us know what you think, listeners and viewers. 2011, when it's all said and done, when all these guys have gotten their opportunity, who we believe are deserving to get into the Hall of Fame, will this be the best draft class ever in NFL history?
Who got the most in our draft class?
The most Pro Bowls?
Yeah.
JJ got 5. So he didn't even make. I think Vaughn and Tyron has the most Pro Bowls.
Okay. Oh, no. Me, Vaughn, and Tyron.
And Pat.
All got 8.
Oh, you got 8.
Okay.
And you're supposed to have 9. You're supposed to have 9 this year. You're supposed to have 9. Dang, Tyron Smith got 8 Pro Bowls?
Hey. We up to something, man.
Boy. Yeah, so hey, let us know what you think. Listeners and viewers, great candid conversation. It's 2011 draft. It's not that far back. But you know, there's some GOAT-like classes that are already enshrined in football heaven and Canton in the Hall of Fame. But let us know your thoughts. When this class is, when it's all said and done, will this class be the best ever? We got to wait and see. But they continue to add to their legacy and resume. So in due time. Before we go, Pat P, bowl season is upon us.
Yep.
Florida State has Oklahoma in the Cheez-It Bowl in Orlando, the 29th.
Both in Florida.
Both in Florida. You got in the Citrus Bowl playing against Purdue.
Yep.
Give me your score prediction for Purdue LSU.
Man, I don't even know what the score going to be, but we're going to beat them by 17 points. I know that.
Oh, 17.
Yeah, so whatever you put, read between the lines. Whatever number you want to throw out there, Matt, we're going to win by 17. Go
well,
time.
I'm going to give you a score for mine. I got Florida State. Hold on.
See, you the one with the numbers, guy. The numbers be rolling in your head.
40-20.
40-20?
Maybe we're putting up 40 points on Oklahoma.
I like it. You know, that'll play no defense anyway.
Then I'm going to transition to the playoff game, the Fiesta Bowl, TCU versus Michigan in Arizona. Yes, in Arizona. That's a good one.
That is, man. Hey, Matt, I don't know who I want to pick in this. I ain't going to lie.
Boy, that man. J.J. McCarthy, quarterback for Michigan, been playing some good football. Max Duggan
indeed.
Been playing some good football, too.
Yes, indeed. But I'm going to go with Michigan. I'm going to go with Michigan. Yep, just because how steady the quarterback has been playing, especially in big moments. That Ohio State game, that was a turning point for me.
It was. But that TCU, they got quite a few guys that's going to play on
they
Sunday.
They be biting. They definitely be biting. They're going to play tough to the end. But them dang on Wolverines. Hey, Harbaugh, he got them boys rolling, man.
I go 30-27 TCU Horned Frogs.
30-27?
Yeah.
Hey, man, I want to put some Boss Water and Sprite on this one.
Wait a minute.
I like Michigan.
We didn't say we were putting anything on
I
that.
Like I'm Michigan. Not... You like TCU.
Man, listen, man. Don't be trying to woozle me, man. It's a
you
bet.
I
didn't even know we were trying to make this a bet. I thought we were just talking.
I mean, no, we ain't. We were just talking, but now you speaking my language.
This man trying
to
woozle
me. You said
you
like TCU.
Man.
I like Michigan.
Man, I want to see TCU win. I don't think they're going to win.
Oh, that's okay. Just say that then.
Yeah, I just pick them 30s. But I tell you this much, the Peach Bowl.
I know you ain't taking Ohio State.
No, I'm taking Georgia.
Oh, okay. I was about to say.
Yeah, I'm taking Georgia. I'm taking Georgia in that game. But I say that let me.
Say
give
what?
Give me Georgia. 26-17,
man. Georgia, hell no. Georgia about to put up 40 points, bro. I'm letting you know.
40?
Right. Yeah, 40. 40.
You just going to disrespect Ohio State like that.
Yeah. I ain't disrespecting them. They going to put up 40. Have we not seen that routinely?
Stetson Bennett, the mailman is what they call him.
Have we not seen that routinely?
We have.
Exactly. And he playing in Georgia? Come on, man. Come
Mercedes Benz don't.
Come on, man.
Mercedes, the Benz. Well, let's go 40-17 then.
There you go. I like that. That sounds a little better.
40-17. So we got Florida State putting up a 40 burger on Oklahoma.
LSU is going to
beat Purdue by 17. I think TCU is going to beat Michigan. I don't want to bet anything, but I just, you know, and we got Georgia just doing what they do to Ohio State, basically in a home game for Georgia. Sorry, Ohio State. Hey, great show. Lot to unwind and tap into and with. Pat P getting ready for the Green Bay Packers. It's a big opportunity for them to continue to hold on to the number two spot while kicking dirt, not kicking dirt, just putting the Packers in the ground and basically enter their season. I hope everyone enjoyed our show. Make sure you follow the show, subscribe, tell a friend to tell a friend. Until next time, peace.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sanfel, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.